Welcome to today's Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. This production is also available at recordinglibrary.org and on the telephone reader by calling 432-617-5555.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, January 9th, 2020. Front page. District 2 election. Candidates talk about policing communication at forum. By Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N, at MRT.com. City Council candidates for South and East Midland gave their respective pitches at a forum held Tuesday evening at the Cogdill Learning Center. John Norman, Adrian Urquidy, and Stephen Villela gave those in attendance a look at their respective visions at the District 2 Forum sponsored by the Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, League of Women Voters, Comunidad in Action, and Midland College Cogdill Learning Center. All three candidates were raised in the district and attended Midland ISD schools. Norman operates the Norman Elite Athletic Training Facility. Urquidy is in oil and gas, currently working as a safety consultant, and Villela manages his parents' tortilla factory. Highlights from the three candidates' answers during the hour-long forum. Norman's expected push, if elected, is to bring economic opportunity zones to the south and east sides. He often stated his belief that these zones will spur development and result in more housing and higher-paying jobs. Organic development to the area is how he phrased it. But there are no tracts in Midland that qualify for this type of federal funding, and there aren't any economic opportunity zones currently in place inside the city, according to the city manager's office. Norman later told the Reporter Telegram his proposal is to model a local program after the federal opportunity zones. Urquidy talked about changes such as the residents of District 2 want to see. He discussed a plan for infrastructure, roads, public safety, and getting city resources on the same level as the other districts in Midland. He also talked about incentivizing economic growth. Villela wants to raise the standard of the district, and that includes providing more affordable housing, proper drainage, and the roads plan that also deals with the pothole problems across the district. He said money the city is making on drilling under District 2 parks should be reinvested in the district's parks, and said all federal community development block grant funding should be used on projects, and the city should take care of its own administration. One topic raised during the forum was community police programs. Norman said he wants to recruit officers to look like us and speak our languages. District 2 is minority-majority district. Urquidy said more officers are needed because the department is currently in a reactive state, not a proactive state. He also said steps should be taken to make sure officers can relate to the community. Villela said more bridges should be built connecting police and the residents to encourage relationships. In terms of communication and involving the community in decision-making, both Norman and Urquidy said that if elected, they would form committees that will provide counsel as they make decisions. Villela said he would have block parties to help gather input, and he would meet regularly with groups such as Comunidad in Action. City. Man arrested on DWI charge after crashing into ski skeller. From staff reports. A 28-year-old Midland man was being held Wednesday on a driving while intoxicated charge after he crashed his vehicle into the ski skeller building on Wadley Avenue, according to a press release from the city's spokeswoman. Bond for Sante has been set at $500 for the Class B misdemeanor. Midland police and fire departments responded to 3327 West Wadley at about 7 a.m. in reference to a vehicle striking a building. They found a Chevrolet Equinox had crashed into ski skeller. The driver, identified as Tay, was found to be intoxicated. Gina Reagan, co-owner of Skeeskeller Sports, said she received a text message alert from the store's alarm company shortly after 7 a.m. She said she called the alarm company and was told a driver had crashed into the store. The driver went through one of the store's windows, she said. They worked Wednesday to board up the window and clean up vehicle fluid that spilled on the store's floor. Reagan said Skeeskeller was closed Wednesday, but she and her husband Scott plan to reopen today. She said it's the busiest time of the year for the ski shop. No one was injured in the accident. Hospital District polling on possible sales tax election. MMH CEO says revenues are needed to help with declining federal reimbursements. By Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N at MRT.com. Midland County Hospital District officials are taking the temperature of the community about another revenue source to help with declining federal reimbursements. Russell Myers, President and Chief Executive Officer of Midland Health, told the Reporter-Telegram this week that the hospital district has commissioned a poll on whether Midland residents would support a quarter-cent increase in the city's sales tax for Midland Memorial Hospital operations. The polling results will be provided to the board so members can decide whether to call an election, which could be as early as May. Currently, taxable items inside the city are taxed at 8%. That means for every dollar something is priced, the sales tax is 8 cents. For every $100, the sales tax is $8. The cap for sales tax inside a city in the state of Texas is 8.25%. A quarter cent inside the city raised more than $15 million last fiscal year. Myers said a May election must be called by February 14th. He said the district is paying for the polling, which is legal if there is not an active election taking place. He said he expects several hundred residents of Midland would be polled. In addition to asking about a potential voter's stance on a quarter cent of sales tax being allotted for the hospital district, the poll asks Midlanders their feelings about certain political figures, the quality and numbers of doctors in Midland, health care providers, specialties, and the hospital's ability to recruit and retain doctors. The poll also asks about certain statements related to the current state of health care in Midland. The poll does not ask about the hospital dividing the available quarter cent with the city of Midland. There were conversations in the past, including with State Representative Tom Craddock, that the hospital district and the city could each ask for an eighth of a cent. The hospital district would use the revenue collected for its financial situation, and the city could use its money for infrastructure. That conversation happened early in the process, Myers said. Oxy starting widespread layoffs in Houston beyond. By Jordan Blum, The Houston Chronicle. Occidental Petroleum is initiating a broad layoff effort this week that will stretch from Houston to Denver as the Permian Basin's leading oil producer aims to cut costs in the aftermath of its massive $38 billion acquisition of Anadarko Petroleum last year. Oxy has for months offered voluntary employee buyouts and worked to sell assets around the world, from the old Anadarko headquarters in the Woodlands to Anadarko's entire Africa portfolio. But now the Houston energy firm is moving on to terminating jobs, according to an internal email from Oxy chief executive Vicky Holub. While these voluntary programs have been successful and contributed significantly to our goals, we have determined that additional staff reductions are necessary, Holub stated. A reduction in force program based on business necessity by job is being initiated with individual communications and exit dates. While Oxy would not immediately reveal job reduction numbers or goals, employees this week have cited cutbacks occurring at Oxy's Greenway Plaza headquarters in Houston and its large hub in Denver, including new postings from workers on the website thelayoff.com. The merger would have created a combined company of well more than 15,000 employees. But many people have already accepted buyout deals or sought employment elsewhere. All of the new layoffs could be announced by the end of this week, Holub said in the email. Staff reductions are always difficult, and we feel for those employees and their families who will be affected. However, for the long-term success of the company, we must take appropriate action to compete in our transforming industry and achieve the synergies announced at the time of the merger. She said Oxy would not have any layoffs within its petrochemical arm, called OxyChem, or in the Gulf of Mexico division that was acquired from Anadarko. And few jobs will be cut internationally. That would make Texas and Colorado the most exposed to job reductions. In a prepared statement Wednesday, Oxy spokeswoman Melissa Shobe said Oxy's integration team worked for months to identify the positions needed to successfully and safely operate its business while still achieving its cost reduction and synergy goals. We reduced the workforce significantly with voluntary separation packages, and to attain the integration goals, we implemented a non-voluntary program to further reduce staffing. We recognize this will have an impact on our employees and will do what we can to provide assistance during the process. Oxy's stock value suffered after it successfully outbid Chevron to buy Anadarko, with shareholders concerned the company was overpaying, taking on too much debt, and relying too heavily on higher oil prices moving forward. Famed activist investor Carl Icahn even waged a proxy war to oust Holub and much of the Oxy board. Oxy took on about $40 billion in debt to close the deal, including new loans and the assumption of Anadarko's existing debt. Just this week, Oxy said it would make its pipeline arm, Western Midstream Partners, an independent company and reduce its ownership stake in the firm in order to cut its overall debt load. Oxy acquired Western as part of the Anadarko deal, and the potential spinoff was considered one of the best ways to help Oxy pay off the deal. However, Western's market value plunged by about 30% last year, putting any possible sale on hold. Western's market value is currently about $10 billion. Oxy said it would reduce its roughly 55% stake in Western to below 50% this year and make the pipeline firm fully independent. The deal would let Oxy take Western's nearly $7.5 billion debt load off its books and still allow Oxy to maintain an operational relationship with Western and its pipelines and processing capabilities. Oxy said last week it would sell the Twin Tower Anadarko headquarters in the Woodlands while leasing back one tower and the old ConocoPhillips campus in the Houston Energy Corridor for a combined $565 million to the Howard Hughes Corporation to help further reduce the debt. Oxy had originally intended to move its headquarters to the Conoco campus, but nixed those plans after buying Anadarko, deeming the campus too small to accommodate everyone. Sales tax collection drops 9.41% by Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N, at MRT.com. The sales tax collection took a turn for the worse as the city of Midland. Incomplete sentence? Should it be for the city of Midland? Not only did the city report a 9.41% decrease compared to January 2019, but the city reported the fiscal year-to-date also dropped. As some people look at sales tax collection as an economic indicator, a drop in the collection in two out of the last 3 months might have some believing the economy's upward trend might be at least leveling off. This month's collection is the largest drop year over year since February 2017. The silver lining is that the comparison is still to the greatest collection in the city's history. The $19.143 million collected year to date is still more than $4 million greater than during the first 4 months of fiscal year 2018. That year, the city recorded its second-best year on record. A collection comes from sales 2 months earlier, so January's collection comes from sales in November, which is the first of 2 months of spending related to the holiday season. Obituaries and death notices. Barbara Ann Knight McWilliams died peacefully at her home on January 3rd. Barbara was born in Tucson, Arizona on May 20, 1931, by her parents Wallace and Zena Knight. She graduated from Texas Western College, UTEP, in 1950. Barbara married Bill McWilliams on February 14, 1951. She was preceded in death by her husband Bill and is survived by her 3 sons and their wives, Mike, Toby, and David, 9 grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren. A memorial service will be held at Grace Presbyterian Church on January 18th at 2 p.m. If you are so inclined, your memorial donations should be directed to Casa de Amigos, your favorite children's charity, or to Hospice of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelsh.com. Wanda Franklin, 86, of Midland, passed away January 8th. The family will receive guests from 4 to 6 p.m. Sunday, January 12th, at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. Monday, January 13th, at Nellie Picklin Welsh Chapel, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Survivors include daughters Letha Reynolds and Janie Caldwell.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Thursday, January 9th. OHS student headed for Congress state tourney. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. For the second year in a row, Odessa High School senior Karis Cox will be participating in the Congress state tournament at the University of Texas at Austin. The tournament lasts from January 13th through January 15th. Karis's father, speech, debate, and theater teacher Aaron Cox, said his daughter is the only one from ECISD who qualified for the state proceedings. The first 2 rounds will be at UT Austin. If she makes the finals, it will take place in the state capitol, where legislators actually debate and using the furniture lawmakers use, Aaron Cox said. With student Congress, participants write bills and send them in. A certain amount are approved or not. Quote, they have to go through the writing process, the research process. They have to tell all the stuff of why this bill needs to be done, so then you get to do research. During the contest, you have legislators who get up for the bill. They talk about it. They take questions. Then you get someone against the bill. Then they get questions, Aaron Cox said. It's all done in a compressed time period. This will be the 8th year that OHS has participated in the Congress state tournament. Aaron Cox said one of the best things he heard was that a lawmaker said the students could teach the legislators how to do their jobs. He said there was no childishness. Quote, it was all about the bill, business about the bill, and then moving on, Aaron Cox said. To qualify for the state tournament, he said you have to compete in your region in various classifications. Aaron Cox said that Karis tangled with students from Lee High School in Midland and Permian High School. She came in second, sandwiched by Lee in first and third. Quote, it's really odd for the students because she was competing also against 3A, but 3A didn't have any impact on her going to state, so she was still questioned by people who had no impact on their going or not, so she had to be good at answering those questions. She had to be able to have the knowledge and the research that she had in her speech to be able to answer questions and to support why she was for and against the bills, Aaron Cox said. Karras will have a chance to make nationals in speech and debate, and she'll also compete in the International Thespian Festival at Indiana University in Bloomington in June. Aaron Cox said Karras has been able to accomplish a lot in a short period of time. He said she's not always happy that he has had her work so hard, but he has all his students participate in the Congress State Tournament because of the research and speaking skills that it teaches. Quote, it gets them actually ready for the real world, and it gets them ready for college. Both my daughters have made it to state Congress, Aaron Cox said. Continuing the quote, the accomplishments never cease to amaze that both my girls are smarter than I am and more talented, end quote. His oldest daughter is Kennedy Hernandez. He added that student Congress is one of the best things teachers can give a student because it enables them to defend both sides of an argument and gives them a more well-rounded picture of the world. For her part, Karras Cox, age 17, said going to state in the Congress tournament is pretty cool. Quote, I'm excited to go look at the University of Texas again and hopefully, possibly, make it to the finals round where you can compete at the state capitol, Karras Cox said. She said it is easier the second time around only because she knows how things run now, but it's not any easier competition-wise. Quote, I've been writing two speeches in 0 hour. Then I'll write two speeches on my lunch period and then two more speeches after school so I can get all 40 done. It's a lot of work, and a lot of them it's pretty hard to really decide whether or not you want to affirm what exactly the bill says or negate what the bill says, Karras Cox said. Quote, I feel like I have definitely grown as a speaker and grown as a student because I'm taking dual credit classes, so I've been able to better research my papers and understand exactly what's happening in the status quo, she added. She's also excited to be going to nationals in theater again. Quote, I made so many friends. I got to work with so many professionals. It's going to be a really good experience to be able to go again, Karras Cox said. Her preference is to earn a musical theater degree in Los Angeles. ODC has plenty to talk about as it holds first meeting of 2020. The story was written by Royal McGregor. The Odessa Development Corporation will hold its first meeting in nearly 2 months and its initial one of 2020. ODC will hear a wide range of topics, including hearing from its contractors, talking about UTPB and Odessa College, and filling job vacancies. The meeting has been scheduled at 2 p.m. today in the fifth floor at City Hall, 411 West 8th Street. Contractors that are scheduled to speak during the meeting include Wesley Burnett of the Economic Development Corporation, Craig Van Amberg of CVA Advertising and Marketing, Tyler Patton for America's Small Business Development Center at UTPB, Motran President James Beecham, and Cindy Muncy for City Administrative Support. ODC will discuss a UTPB impact study that was prepared by Ray Perryman, while the board will also consider a resolution approving the third and fourth incentive payments to Odessa College based on compliance with the Economic Development Agreement. The Compliance Committee has 3 pending vacancies as of December 31, 2019, while it also looks to reappoint 2 members whose terms expired on the same day. Other agenda items. Presentation to Betsy Triplett Hurt and Ted Tumanowski. Consider minutes of November 14, 2019. Appointment of officers. Discuss Economic Development Agreement auditing and payment process, and amending economic development agreements to reflect potential changes. Discuss appointments to ODC board committees, partnership, tax incentive, advertising, DOI design. ODC committee and officer reports, advertising committee, Gene Collins, Downtown Odessa, Inc., design committee, Gene Collins, Odessa Partnership, Tim Hedgman. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. New voter certificates have been mailed in Ector County, and the new certificates are orange and white. Voter certificates for a person who no longer lives at that address or for a person who is deceased should have deceased or moved across the front of the card and be mailed back to the elections office. However, if there are corrections made, the card must be mailed in an envelope. If there is incorrect information on a card, write the correct information on the back of the card, sign it, and put it in an envelope and return it to the elections office. The address is on the front of the certificate in the top left-hand corner. Changing an address at the post office does not apply to your voter certificate. Those who have not received a certificate should call the elections office at 432-498-4030. Go online for additional voter information. On the net, sos.state.tx.us. The Fort Stockton Convention and Visitors Bureau has scheduled a livestock show and dance Friday and Saturday at the Pecos County Coliseum in Fort Stockton. The stock show and the Robert Weyerts Memorial Goat Roping is set for 9 a.m. on Friday. Premium sale starts at 1 p.m. Saturday. Doors open for the dance at 6 p.m. Featured entertainment will be presented by Corey Morrow, Jake Ward, and the Whiskey Brothers, BYOB. For stock show information, call 432-290-4223. For dance information, call 432-290-0540, 290-3496, or 361-235-1371. The Young Professionals of Odessa will have their 2020 kickoff mixer from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. January 16th at the Alan Noel Art Museum. It is free to everyone 21 to 40 who lives or works in Odessa. Free drinks and food will be available. For more information, go online at ypodessa.org. Police, FBI searching for bank robber. The Odessa Police Department and the Federal Bureau of Investigation are searching for a man who robbed a bank while showing a handgun in East Odessa. The reported bank robbery happened at 12:20 p.m. Wednesday at the BBVA Compass Bank, located at 3809 East 42nd Street, an OPD press release detailed. Investigation reportedly showed a man entered the bank and presented a note to a teller while showing a handgun. The man exited the bank and left the scene in a white truck with an undisclosed amount of cash. There were no reports of any injuries. The man has been described as a thin, white man with light-colored eyes, 6 feet tall, and 180 pounds, wearing a black hoodie, glasses, and a surgical mask, the press release stated. The man is reportedly driving a white Dodge Ram pickup. The bed of the truck has a diamond plate auxiliary fuel tank. OPD has released a photo of the man and his truck. Anyone with information about the robbery is asked to contact the Odessa Police Department, Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS. two men arrested after string of robberies. A 29-year-old man and a 33-year-old man after they were reportedly involved in three robberies throughout Odessa. Timothy Burris, age 29, was charged with two counts of aggravated robbery, a first-degree felony, and robbery, a second-degree felony, while Frederick Calicut, age 33, was charged with robbery, a second-degree felony. The first reported robbery happened at 1:40 p.m. December 26th at Salsita Tamale Factory, located at 287 South Grandview Avenue, an Odessa Police Department press release detailed. Investigation reportedly showed a man, later identified as Burris, robbed the business at gunpoint and fled the scene with an undisclosed amount of cash. The second reported robbery happened at 7:09 p.m. December 28th at Subway, located at 4812 East University Boulevard, the press release stated. Investigation reportedly detailed a man, later identified as Burris, robbed the business at gunpoint and fled the scene with an undisclosed amount of cash. The third robbery happened at 9:20 p.m. Monday at Subway, located at 2633 North County Road West, the press release stated. Investigation reportedly showed two men, later identified as Burris and Calicut, robbed the business at gunpoint and fled the scene with an undisclosed amount of cash. Through the course of the investigation, Burris was connected to all three robberies, while Calicut was connected to the robbery on County Road West, the press release detailed. Burris and Calicut were arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. Burris has three bonds totaling $170,000, while Calicut has one totaling $20,000, jail records show. Burris and Calicut were still in custody as of Wednesday afternoon. This is the medical advice column, To Your Good Health, by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, I have heard that fish oil can clog the arteries and cause problems, but I've also heard it's good to take. I don't know if it is good or bad. Can you help me out with this? Answer. There remains controversy about fish oil, but recent studies prompted the U.S. Food and Drug Administration Advisory Committee to recommend wider use of a prescription fish oil. These new studies show that icosapent ethyl, VASEPA, a highly purified fish oil ester, reduced the risk of cardiovascular events by 5% and lowered the risk of cardiovascular death by 0.9% in people with high triglycerides, known coronary artery disease, diabetes, and at least one other risk factor, despite the use of statin drugs. For people with higher than average risk of heart disease and high triglycerides despite statin therapy, I believe fish oil or fish oil-based pharmaceuticals has a role to play in reducing the risk of heart attack, stroke, and death that will be further revealed in the next few years. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Odessa American on Thursday, January 9th. Sayla Ruth Buford Atkins Reeves passed away from this life on earth, joined loved ones that have gone on to meet our Heavenly Father in heaven. Ruth was born on August 14, 1921, in Sanco, Texas, to David Jefferson Atkins and Susie Nancy Atkins. She was the second child in a family with seven children. She had two sisters, Lily Daphne Atkins and Joyce Sue Atkins. She also had four brothers, Woodson Arundel Atkins, J.D. Atkins, Neil Dean Atkins, and Myron Lee Atkins. Ruth met the love of her life, Edwin Blaine Skeet Buford, while living in Robert Lee, and it was love at first sight. They would later marry in Robert Lee. Ruth was preceded in death by her eldest son, Ricky, who passed away on September 1, 2005, from lung cancer. Following Ricky was his daughter, Stephanie, who passed away due to complications from cystic fibrosis and missing her dad on April 11, 2006. Ruth was also preceded in death by her youngest son, David, who passed away on November 6, 2006. Ruth was also preceded in death by her eldest daughter, Katie Sue, who passed away on December 18, 2009, at a McKinney hospital. Ruth is survived by her youngest daughter, Patsy Ruth Buford Beck, of Odessa, her younger brother, J.D. Atkins, of Lake Buchanan, Texas, her friend, Bill Heath, of El Paso, and her brother-in-law, Nathan O. Ammons, of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, nephews, Mickey Dean Atkins, of Weatherford, Texas, Arundel Dean Ammons, of Espanola, New Mexico, niece, Teresa Domini, of Weatherford, Texas. She is also survived by 5 grandsons, 1 granddaughter, 7 great-grandsons, and 4 great-granddaughters. Visitation will be 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday, January 9th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, January 10th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel, with Pastor Mike Atkins officiating. Burial will follow immediately after services at Sunset Memorial Gardens. To send family condolences, please sign her guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Caleb Hinojos was born and raised in Odessa. He is survived by fiancée Tiana Walker of Odessa, a daughter, Haley Hinojos of Odessa, parents, Rodney and Araceli Lara of Odessa, parents Rudy and Lucy Hinojos of Midland, sisters Jacqueline and Danica Hinojos of Odessa, a brother, Andrew Hinojos of Temple, Texas, a grandmother, Naomi de la Garza of Odessa, a grandfather, Pedro Hinojos of Kermit, Silverio Perez and Guadalupe Perez, grandparents from Piedras Negras, Mexico, a great-grandmother, Joaquina de la Garza of Jordanton, Texas, preceded in death, a grandmother, Consuelo Hinojos of Kermit, a great-grandmother, Maria de la Luz Bueno Rodriguez, and a great-grandfather, Aaron de la Garza. Troy Allen Miller, age 24, passed away on Monday, December 30th, in Mentone, Texas. Troy was born on October 5th, 1995, in Denver City, Texas, to James Ray Miller Sr. and Virginia Eileen Shadden. Troy is survived by his father, James Miller Sr. of Mentone, mother, Virginia Shadden of Watts, Oklahoma, brother, James Miller Jr. of Seminole, Texas, sisters, Bonnie Roberts and husband Ronald Hernandez of Levine, Arizona, and Cassie Young and husband David of Idaho Falls, Idaho, as well as 4 nieces, 4 nephews, 5 uncles, and 5 aunts. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, January 11th at 10 a.m. at Kermit VFW Hall in Kermit. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to any veteran's charity. Arrangements are entrusted to Family Services Funeral Parlor, and condolences may be sent to the family at www.fs-fp.com. Henry Joe Carter, age 56, of Odessa, died Monday, January 6th, in Fort Worth. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Saturday, January 11th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Interment will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Mark W. Evans, age 63, of Odessa, died Tuesday, January 7th, in Odessa. Celebration of Life is scheduled for 10 a.m. January 10th at Nally Pickle and Welch Chapel in Midland. Frankie Skinner, aged 95, died Wednesday, January 8th in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Judy Solomon McClanahan, age 72, of Monahans, passed away on January 7th at home. Judy was born in Gorman, Texas, to Burl and Maggie Solomon on December 4th, 1947. She is preceded in death by her parents and by two brothers, Truman and Mickey Solomon. Trudy is survived by her husband, Dickie Allen McClanahan, her son, Alan McClanahan, and wife Elita of San Angelo, her daughter Beth Ann Davis and husband Brian of Wicket, brother Harlan Solomon of Terrell, sister Kathy Lancaster and husband Kenneth of Abilene, six grandchildren, and five great-grandchildren. Visitation will be from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Wednesday, January 8th, at Harkey Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at Southside Baptist Church on Thursday, January 9th at 10 a.m. with Joshua Reef and Barry Callahan officiating. Burial will follow immediately after at Monahan's Memorial Cemetery. Visit our website, harkeyfunerals.com, to sign the guest book or leave a personal note for the family. Texas Farm Bureau Ag Fund endorses Pfluger. The Texas Farm Bureau Ag Fund on Wednesday endorsed August Pfluger, a Republican from San Angelo, in the Republican primary for Texas's 11th Congressional District. The Texas Farm Bureau Ag Fund is a political action committee that educates voters on important agricultural issues and supports candidates who support the interests of Texas Farm Bureau members. Quote, "We need a strong voice for agriculture and rural Texas in Washington, D.C., said Texas Farm Bureau President Russell Boning via a news release. Continuing the quote, "We support August Pfluger because we believe he can be that voice. He has the background to understand the challenges facing farmers and ranchers, and he will be effective in Washington," end quote. Quote, "For seven generations, my family has made its living working the farms and ranches of Texas, which is why I'm so honored to have the support of the Texas Farm Bureau in this campaign," Pfluger said via a news release. New concert generates fine arts grants. Proceeds from the concert by Matt New, a contestant on The Voice, will yield $8,000 each for fine arts in Ector County and Midland ISD through the Matt New Performing Arts Grant. Grants will be awarded this spring, Celeste Potter, director of the Education Foundation of Odessa, said in an email. New, a former Odessan, describes himself as a singer-songwriter who performs soul and pop music mainly. He grew up in Odessa and attended Permian Basin Christian, a small school that was part of their church that no longer exists. He was then homeschooled his junior year and went to Permian High School for his senior year, where he graduated in 2008. The show at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center was his first goal after he got off The Voice to thank people in both cities for all the support they showed him and do something for the next generation of musicians and singers. Organizing the show also came from a desire to give back, New said in a December 2019 interview. Grant winners will be announced on April 23rd in ECISD and April 24th in MISD, Potter wrote. Quote, "We are excited to announce that we will be awarding $8,000 in ECISD through the Matinu Performing Arts Grant that was established to support the performing arts in both Midland and Odessa. ECISD performing arts teachers are encouraged to apply for funding for the 2020-2021 school year to grow their current programs through the Education Foundation, Potter said in the email. Quote, "We are so grateful to Matinu for using his newfound fame to give back to the students in the Permian Basin. He is a great example of the fine students that come through ECISD, and we couldn't be more proud," she said. January sales tax revenue dips from a year ago. The city of Odessa received its January sales tax check that totals more than $5 million. The sales tax check was for the amount of $5,075,684, which included the economic development sales tax of a quarter cent, a City of Odessa press release detailed. The City of Odessa will reportedly receive $4 million, while the Odessa Development Corporation will receive $1 million. Sales tax revenues decreased as January's sales tax revenue total of $4 million showed a decline of $758,000 when it was compared to January of 2019, the press release stated. The year-to-date total sales tax revenue for fiscal year 2019-2020 reportedly increased 48%, which amounts to $5.9 million when it was compared to the budgeted amount expected at this point in the fiscal year. The 2019-2020 year-to-date amount is below the previous fiscal year-to-date amount by $1.1 million, the press release stated. The city has budgeted $41 million in net sales tax revenues for this current fiscal year. The Ector County Hospital District expects $3.7 million in January sales tax.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, January 8th, 2020, Section A. Life-changing opportunity. Morales and her six children proud to accept home from Habitat for Humanity by Royal McGregor. Araceli Morales has called the Midland-Odessa area her home for the last 11 years. Thursday afternoon, the 34-year-old El Paso native and mother of six received the keys to a house as part of a dedication ceremony from Midland Habitat for Humanity. Morales, along with her six daughters, 15-year-old Stefania, 12-year-old Sophia, 8-year-old Mayeli, 7-year-old Naomi, 5-year-old Shayla and 3-year-old Mercedes cut the ribbon to welcome their home to the rest of the community. Along with the excitement, you have that weight off your shoulders, Morales said. It's an awesome feeling to know you own this home. This is yours. You should proudly show it off. During the dedication ceremony, Sophia explained the importance of this house to members of the community, volunteers, and sponsors. "I consider this a blessing," she said during the ceremony. "It opens a lot of doors and a lot of opportunities." That sentiment is also shared by Midland Habitat for Humanity Executive Director Joey Hopkins. "We really believe that houses are more than where you just sleep at night," Hopkins said. "We have statistics that kids who grow up in houses that they own do better in school. They are more involved, and it permeates every area of life." Morales said she and her daughters were previously renting a house for $1,800 a month. The 34-year-old said this house allows her and her children the opportunity to live in a stable home without having to worry about rent increasing. "The oil field is great. It's great opportunity, but when the oil field goes down, everything goes down," Morales said. "Not everyone makes oil field money." Prior to the ribbon cutting, Midland Habitat for Humanity Executive Director Joey Hopkins gave the Morales family a couple of gifts, which included a step stool and a trivet that were repurposed from the original home. There was also a toolbox, birdhouse, and a Bible. Hopkins said Habitat for Humanity is a nonprofit organization which allows it to buy and sell houses at cost. He said the organization can build houses for $70,000. The Midland Habitat for Humanity serves Midland and Odessa. Hopkins also explained where the Morales home is located. The 300 block of Lauderdale Avenue, there will be two more projects scheduled to be completed. The housing shortage is a big deal right now. We are uniquely positioned to pursue that because we don't need to make a profit. We can sell these houses for what it costs us to build. A for-profit builder wouldn't be able to do that. Birthright celebrates 35 years. By Sam Waller. Birthright of Odessa celebrates 35 years of service in the community this month with its annual fundraiser, this year featuring Dove Award winner Matthew West. The event is scheduled for 6 p.m. January 23rd at MCM Grande Hotel and Fun Dome and Event Center. A lot of people know about the program, Birthright of Odessa board member and events chairperson Amy Cravey said. They see the sign that says Birthright, but they don't realize we've been here for so long. And we've helped so many moms in the community. We love to tell the story at the event. It's really about being in Odessa for 35 years and celebrating what God has done. The scripture, Psalm 126, verse 3, says, "The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy." That's kind of our theme. West, who received the 2018 Dove Award for Songwriter of the Year and has been nominated 9 other times, has released 5 albums of Christian music. His latest album, Brand New, will be released February 14th. Cravey said West's message fits well with Birthright's ministry. "His music is a lot about bringing hope," she said. "It's encouraging because his music backs up what we are trying to do. We're cheerleaders for moms who find themselves in really stressful situations. We're thrilled to be able to bring in a recording artist who is a big name so people can enjoy that. He's going to do an acoustic set. He's going to tell stories about his songs, and it's going to be a very encouraging night." Tickets for the event are available online at www.birthrightodessa.org/events. Individual tickets are $50 each. Sponsorship packages are available at Faith, $500 for 4 tickets, Hope, $1,000 for a full table of 10 tickets, and Love, $2,500 for a full table and a VIP reception levels. Anyone interested in being an event co-sponsor, $5,000, or an event underwriter, $10,000, can call Birthright at 432-228-3129 for details. Birthright International, a Toronto-based interdenominational ministry, provides help to women dealing with unplanned pregnancies. According to the organization's website, Birthright offers loving, confidential, non-judgmental support to those who are pregnant or think they may be pregnant. "We not only raise money, but our event is so important because we also have to recruit volunteers," said Cravey, who began volunteering with the organization 10 years ago. "That's the only way Birthright is staffed. If we don't have volunteers, our doors are not open." "Our volunteers are extremely important. Most of them work office shifts and work as helpers to ladies who come in. We also have people who take care of our baby donation room, our maternity clothing room. We have people who take phone calls for us. Our volunteers are almost even more important than raising funds." Cravey said Birthright has a need for both cash donations and baby-related items. "We, of course, have bills," she said. "We have to pay our light bill. We have insurance for which we have to pay. We do need money in the bank. But everything that's donated, every person who gives us what we call their time, talent, or treasure, that's that much less we have to worry about. We have established things that we do for our clients. If they find out if they're having a boy or a girl, we can give them a sack of gender-specific baby supplies to get them started. We're going to continue to do that, whether people donate items or we go and buy them. We're going to make sure our clients are taken care of. A good example, Cravey said, is handmade items provided by volunteer groups. We've had people come to our events and realize our group can make baby blankets. If they make 50 baby blankets, that's huge for us, she said. That's 50 moms who get handmade baby blankets for their babies. That's 50 blankets we don't have to buy. That helps us financially just by having people donate their time and efforts to do that. There are so many ways to support Birthright, and we just want to get people to our event so they can hear about it, and God can put something in their hearts as to how they can help. Cravey said Birthright, which is located at 2125 East 42nd, has seen an increase in clients who have moved to Odessa because of the upswing in oil field employment opportunities. We see over 1,000 clients a year come through our doors, she said. We're seeing more diversity with the clients because they're coming with husbands or boyfriends to work here. We've seen more women who don't have a support system. They don't have family here, so they're really needing someone to just love on them and encourage them. They need a real person to sit in front of. It's important for our ladies to be open and to be there and just be ready to love on the women who come through the door. Quick hits. Genesis Conference. Thy Mission Ministries, a Messianic Jewish Ministerial Alliance, has scheduled the Genesis Conference at sundown around 6 p.m. Friday at the Emet HaTorah, 1807 East 7th. This Erev Sabbath celebration is to include dancing, music, a presentation from a guest speaker, and a kosher potluck meal, typically called an oneg, at the start of the conference. There will be prayers for the sick via oil anointing, mikvahs, and baptisms available as well. Admission is free, but donations are welcome. The event is open to the public. On the net, daimission.org. Rodeo Dance. The Sandhills Stock Show and Rodeo has scheduled a dance featuring Chancey Williams and the Younger Brothers Band, 8:30 p.m. Friday at the Ector County Coliseum, Building G. For tickets or more information, call 366-3951 or email sandhillsrodeo@cable1.net. On the net, sandhillssr.com. Barbecue Cook-Off. The City of Odessa Parks and Recreation has scheduled the third annual West Texas Barbecue Cook-Off, sanctioned by IBCA, January 31st through February 1st at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. Setup and on-site registrations begin at noon, January 31st. Categories: brisket, chicken, and pork spare ribs. Entry fee is $150. Prizes include $5,000 payout, $1,000 grand champion, $900 reserve grand champion, and top five cash payout for each category. For more information, call 368-3548 or email bbarker@odessa-tx.gov. Applications to enter can be found online or at the Parks Office, 1100 West 42nd. On the net, tinyurl.com/yd7rwd4y.
That's the end of the first hour of the Midland Reporter Telegram in Odessa American. We'll begin our second hour right after we take a look at weather.